Penguin Random House Audio presents The Lovers by Rebecca Fabian. Read for you by Gail Shallon and Mia Hutchinson Shaw. For anyone who loves rom-coms, but never saw themselves on screen, here, you are the star. And for my soulmate, Nathan, you are my favorite adventure. Chapter 1. Kit. Shuffling the deck is more than a nervous habit. The weight of the cards in my hands, the swish, swish, swish as they slide into each other, rearranging themselves based on the rhythm in my soul, it stops the spiral I so easily trip right into. I trust them more than I trust myself. And maybe that's part of my problem. One flies out and turns over against the steering wheel. Strength, a major arcana card, and not one I pull for myself often. It's a card that's all about flexibility, letting go of the status quo to transform again, truer and clearer than in the past. It's about courage, passion arising to spontaneously flow, washing through all your dead or dying places. Okay, universe, no need to paint with such a heavy hand. It's only brunch. Mom's birthday brunch, to be precise. A Larson family tradition, 5 years running. Location, the Polo Lounge, a Hollywood icon. The idea, my father's. Like he plucked it right out of one of his favorite movies and planted it in our life for cinematic flair. His favorite kind. He really loves a gesture. Grand or mini, doesn't matter. If Tom Hanks would do it to the tune of Jimmy Durante, so would Dad. The Polo Lounge is located inside the Beverly Hills Hotel, a stunning pink palace right off Sunset Boulevard that is impossible to visit without feeling like the main character in a golden age romantic comedy. Even if you're wearing an off-the-rack dress du jour instead of couture and taking selfies alone instead of walking hand-in-hand with a hot, bronzed movie star to the flash, flash, flash of paparazzi light bulbs. Last year, I brought Gavin, the sculpted from marble veterinarian I was dating at the time. He was already on his way out of our relationship, but at least I had some arm candy for the photo op. This year, I was supposed to bring my live-in boyfriend, David. The reservation is still set for 4 people. The split's so fresh I hadn't had time to change it. It's going to get awkward when I have to sheepishly say, just 3. Mom and Dad will look at me with wide eyes and furrowed brows and ask if everything is okay, and I'll have to tell them, yep. All is absolutely peachy. I'm just single and momentarily without a home again. For the second time this calendar year. I snap the mirror on my car visor closed and smack my glossy lips together. David Young was everything I thought I wanted. On paper, anyway. He was quick-witted, tall, dark, and handsome, with long, perfect fingers and hair the color of ink. He was also getting that look in his eye. The one men get right before they drop down on one knee with something sparkly. You'd think that a believer in rom-com-style happy endings would be gunning to put a ring on it. But the directive handed down from my screenwriter-in-progress father was not simply to get married and settle down. It was to find love, the kind that lasts forever, just like Meg Ryan in French Kiss. It was to never settle for less than a guy who gives speeches, like Hugh Grant at the end of Notting Hill. It was to be the ingenue in your own life. I liked David. We had the kind of chemistry that makes sex good, kissing great, and conversation easy. But he could go days without texting, and I'd almost forget I was dating him until he called. Hey, babe, and asked me out for sushi or to go to some new swanky club. Because David liked the aesthetic of a manic pixie dream blonde on his arm, and I liked how easy it was to be that blonde when I was with him. He also had the hookup with a lot of celebs I was hoping to convert to clientele. Celebs and semi-celebs who can pay more, so I can hopefully work smarter, not harder. Dad, however, really likes David. A lot more than me. Dad likes that he's a good dresser and is polite and smart. but he likes David's industry connections even more. Dad is a perpetually sleep-deprived orthodontist by day and a screenwriter on the brink of his next great script by night. David is a successful TV exec. They talk about the biz. And in Dad's mind, that talking might one day lead to pitching, which could possibly lead to his big break. On some level, both Dad and me using David for his clout is what made me realize the relationship needed to end. Dad, however, wasn't let in on that train of thought, so I need to make sure he is at least one pink sangria in before I break the news. The valet attendant, Robbie, a slim, nervous-looking, barely adult, with a bright shock of red hair he's tried to tame with too much gel, passes in front of my car. Again. I told him I needed to use the Wi-Fi to finish my upload, so he let me idle in the drive. But he's getting antsy. My computer chimes to alert me the upload is complete. I check all the details one final time before closing the laptop. It's one of my choose-your-own-tarot adventure videos, which is just my way of doing a tarot card reading for the masses. It's a signature video on my channel, and always gets me dozens of new inquiries for private readings. My subscribers hold firm at 1 million, slowly growing now that the initial publicity from my Kardashians appearance has calmed down. Before, I was mystic maven Kit Larson, YouTube personality and high-end event entertainer. Now, I'm that, plus the woman who predicted Kim's most recent dating scandal. My bestie, Nina, coined the name Mystic Maven in college, when I got into tarot as a way to help curb my growing battle with anxiety and panic attacks. It stuck like glue, and before I knew it, I was giving readings at sorority parties, before finals, anytime anyone wanted to know if their crush liked them back. I stow my computer, pack up my tarot deck, and climb out of the car, waving Robbie over with a smile. He beams as he takes my keys, and I press a Hamilton into his palm as a thank you. I flip my sunglasses up like a headband and check my watch. Mom and Dad are due any second. Should I wait here for them? Should I go ahead inside and get in front of this reservation for four drama? My phone buzzes. I don't have notifications turned on for any of my apps, a mental health boundary my therapist and I set up after my channel reached 500K. It's a text from Nina. I told her about splitting with David before I begged her to crash on her couch last night. Consider this a hug from the universe and a reminder that fate doesn't give us anything we can't handle. Nina is an actress, mostly bit roles on TV and a few in movies, but with lucrative prospects on the horizon and a lot of faith in her divine path, she's going places. I may be the one with the spiritual brand who gives spot-on readings, but she's a lot better at discerning her intuition for herself than I am. When it comes to my own inner compass, I get lost more often than I get where I'm trying to go. I send her a heart emoji, plus the sparkly stars I associate with cosmic magic. Kitten! I hear my mom's nickname for me and look up to see she's stepped out of the driver's side of her Mercedes and is dropping the keys in the hands of the other valet attendant. Seeing her driving herself to her birthday brunch, where she always, without fail, ends up on the other side of Toasted, is an unnerving plot twist. Mom is a mediocre driver at her most sober. This does not bode well. I'm about to ask what's up when she reaches me, smacks air kisses to both cheeks, and tugs me in, saying, "Let's grab a selfie together before your dad arrives." She attempts her normally toothy smile, but her newly refreshed, code Botoxed face is still a little light on dynamic movement. She raises her phone and begins searching for an angle that flatters both of us, mostly her, and settles on an above left of center position. Her good side, but it's the side I part my hair toward, which means my cheek is shadowed by a curtain of blonde waves. She pulls the phone back to examine the shots. "The light is atrocious, but we can add some filters, make it work." I regret encouraging Mom to get on social media. She needed it to build her life coaching biz, but she uses it to stalk me, tag me, and then passive-aggressively prod until I reshare, almost as much as she uses it to sell her coaching programs and packages. Dad's Mini Cooper pulls up next, just a few minutes behind Mom. Were they coming from different locations? On her birthday? The moment Dad steps out, I see tension etched into every one of his normally relaxed to the point of sleepy facial features. He shoves a hand in his pocket to pull out.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?